For those in HR, you've probably had more experience firing people than the lawyers in the room. But most people, when they're fired, don't say, gee golly, if I were you, I'd fire me too. Most of them feel that it should have been somebody else, or they should have been given another chance, or this is unfair. You know, they're not generally going to be on board with the whole you're out of here concept. And if they are for cause, then they would challenge that. I do not believe you had good cause to fire me. Well, we think your performance sucked. Well, okay, prove it. So we go to court, and we have to prove, in essence, that we had good cause to terminate, right? They say, I was a great performer. I got good reviews. I never had anybody, you know, say that my performance wasn't excellent, et cetera, et cetera. Or, you know, my performance was graded unfairly. You know, so you end up having to fight about whether or not your reasons for letting somebody go were good enough to let them go, which can be very costly. In at will, you can't get sued for that. I mean, if you think somebody's not a good performer, you think they're not a good team player, you think it's just not working out for whatever undefined reason, you would rather hire your brother-in-law, all that's legal. You can just let them go, and there's no lawsuit based upon that concept, right? So, I mean, there's lots of exceptions. We're going to talk about those exceptions, but in a nutshell, that's why at-will employment is so important to preserve, because without it, every single termination becomes a potential lawsuit. If you have a union contract, for example, a collective bargaining agreement, one of the first provisions in a collective bargaining agreement is usually at-will employment is out the window. It's only for cause. So then you end up arbitrating whether there's cause or not for the termination. So almost, you know, every termination is going to result in some type of potential claim. The good news is, as I said, you can't really get popped for cause unless it's express. Now, I had a guy once who sued on saying that he had an oral contract for cause employment, and that was a mess. So I will talk about how you get around that when we talk about defensive documentation. But in any event, I think we generally understand the concept of at-will. It's great for employers, not so great for employees, except that they can quit. They don't owe you 2 weeks. They don't owe you anything. They can just walk out the door. Now, most people don't want to burn a bridge. You know, they want to give 2 weeks. They want to leave professionally. They'd like to have you as a reference if that's something that they could get, which we'll talk about too. but they don't owe that to you. There's no contractual obligation for them to give that to you. So they can just walk out in the middle of the day and say, ciao, take this job and shove it, in the words of the country western song. So you can, now that we know that, I have a lot of at times heard clients who are smaller clients who haven't been sued before say, but it's an at-will state. How can they sue me? I'm like, well, okay, yes, you're right. It is at will. And sometimes people will say it's a right to work state. That's a whole different concept. A right to work state is a concept that means that in Texas, there's a statute that says that if the workforce is unionized, the members of the workforce can choose not to join the union. In other words, I could get the benefits that the union bargains for, but still not pay union dues and not be a union member. That's a right to work state. And Texas is a right to work state. I know that's a shocker for everybody, but we are a right to work state. That doesn't have anything to do with at-will employment. That's purely on the labor side of things, labor being the National Labor Relations Act, unionization, those sorts of issues. So at-will is the correct term. And I'll have employers say, you know, it's at-will, so how can I possibly get sued? I fired him at will. And I even had employers tell them, I've told my employee that I was firing them at will. I'm like, well, I'm sure that was very helpful to them. You know, I'm like, you're what? I mean, just I'm firing you is sufficient, but You just confuse them, but whatever. But you can have exceptions to those that at-will doctrine, and we get them from lots of different places. We get them from contract. The most common contracts are for example, your inventors, you know, critical people that it would kill you to lose, major talent, key salespeople, key executives. You know, those you spend a fortune recruiting, those you spend a fortune training, those who their absence could really have a negative impact on the company, or those whose talents are such that they can pretty much write their own ticket and they're not going to come to work for you at will, period. So, unless they have some type of contract. So you will see written employment contracts with that group of people. I've never seen a study, but my guess is that that's probably maybe 2 or 3% of the population in Texas have written contracts for cause. I mean, it's a very small group. Now, you have a lot of people who have employment contracts, but if you read them, what they say is, you're still an at-will employee, but if we let you go in the first year without cause, we'll pay you 3 months severance, right? They're still at will. It's just you've already bought them. You've decided what the payment price is to exit them without cause. So that gives them some assurance that you're not going to just willy-nilly let them go after they haul their family down from Michigan, you know, and relocate, put their kids in a different school, and then you just decide you're going to hire your brother-in-law, right? So they want some type of guarantee. They get that they've got this severance so that if you do that, then they have a safety net until they find another job.